Okay, so today, my topic is this following Jesus. As I write, I also ask you one question. Following Jesus and seeing fulfillment. So I will ask you, is following first or seeing first? Okay, while I write, you can think. Following Jesus and seeing fulfillment. So what do you think? Which should come first? Should I see some miracles and wonderful goodness of Jesus, then I decide to follow him? Or should I follow him and as a result of following him, I will see evidence? So, Hui Ping. It's recorded, by the way. Then should I give you the mic? Okay. No. So yeah, you must speak louder then. What do you think? Okay, that's your answer, right? Okay, don't be so serious. This is not exam. Okay, we ask the new believer, what do you think? Following. Okay, we ask the older one. Who is the older Christian here? Is it Wei Ning or what? I want to say Wei Ning. Why don't you change already? Okay. So, as you walk in the campus, right, you see there's a... Okay, why do I say Satan is a spirit of unbelief? So, you see, in the campus, you see a lot of nice people. They have a nice heart. They want to make the world a better place. So they contribute a lot to social cause. They want to study very well. They have the Chinese, we call it 上进心. You know, they have they really want to strive for the better. And they really want to do well in life. And so you ask, how is this forces of darkness? But if you pay attention, Satan is very... This verse warns us that as a... See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. So here, it also points us to what is sin. You know, sin is not I score a bad word, I tell a lie. Sin is anything that turns away from the living God. Anything that is related to unbelief. So this is the thing that God wants us to be careful, because Satan is cunning. Satan works in creative way. And unbelief is the downfall of believers. Unbelief, so do you know that, you know, sometimes we pray, God, I want to be a great servant to be used greatly by you. And we always imagine, God will use what kind of people? Who have an answer question? Or you need to have an answer question. Okay. You think God will use what kind of people? Just say it, don't be shy. Someone like me, people that think, why do you think that God will use those kind of people? Like? Those that have nothing to give. This is a special answer, so you can elaborate a bit more.
Because you rely on God more, God's glory can be seen.
Okay, yes. So that's one. So we on... Sometimes when we are asked this question, we can say this kind of answer. But I don't know why, as we live in the church and we look around to see who are the people serving, who are the people standing on the stage, then we start to think, oh, God only uses people who speak very well. So I'm a demonstration of not people who speak very well, people who speak half English, half Chinese, half I don't know what. But God still uses, even though not perfect. But sometimes, you know, as we look around, we just imagine God will use a super wise person. God will use a very talented person. God will use a courageous person. Wow, I dare not even tell people I'm a Christian. How can God use me? But actually, what does it take to be used by God? In relation to today's topic, I'm not running around the place. So when I ask you a question, it's not that difficult one. So who will God use? Qiao Yi, you look like you have all the answers in your... very smart of you. And those who follow Jesus means those who believe, opposite from unbelief. So actually, it all takes simple faith. You know, we don't have to be super talented, or we don't have to have a lot of fancy gift of drawing, of music, or whatever to be used by God. Because ultimately, God is the one who bring about fulfillment of outcomes. So he doesn't need whatever fanciful gift. But if we can have simple faith, even if we are slow in speech, even if we are not so well-to-do or whatever, if we have simple faith and a willing heart, God can use us greatly. So God has demonstrated that truth throughout all the figures he used in the Bible. Not all of them are outstanding. So faith is important. And so that's why this is the first point. Even though forces of darkness are there to hinder us from following Jesus, we need to know that despite all the work of the devil, God is still with us. God is still with us. By the way, my handwriting is not so ugly usually. One, okay, so the power of God is with every one of us who can believe Him. And of course, we know that power of God is above the devil's. So we always think, you know, oh dear, the devil tricked me into committing sin again. The devil got me into grumbling again. The devil made me frustrated with my schoolwork and feel inferior again, and so on. But you see, God's power is all the more obvious. Okay, more when we are weak. This is something that we have to confirm. If you want to have strength to keep following God, you know, one of the things that Satan always tries to hit us is, you see, you follow God, you call yourself a Christian, look at how easily shaken you are. You call yourself a Christian, you see how easily your mood got affected, how easily you lose your temper, how easily you feel jealous, how easily you got so stressed, how easily you lose your joy. You call yourself a Christian, you still go for Bible study for what? You know, sometimes the Satan, the devil will attack us in this way. But we have to confirm for ourselves that the more difficult the situation is, the weaker we are, even then, God's power is present with us. In fact, God's power is all the more obvious when we are weak and when the situation is difficult. You see, when the Bible shows us a lot of examples, you know, when the opponents start to question Jesus, want to test Him and trick Him and humiliate Jesus, and ask Him, for example, you know, who should we give this text to? Is it to Caesar or to God? And then, at that difficult juncture, Jesus displayed all the more the wisdom and power of God to silence His opponent. You know, give to Caesar whatever belongs to Caesar, give to God whatever belongs to God. And even at the point where Jesus seems to lose everything, He was arrested, He was beaten, He was persecuted, He was crucified, and He really died. It seems as if He lost everything. But in the end, God's power was all the more manifested when He rose again, resurrected. So you see, God always surprised, should I use the word surprise? Okay, surprise us because we have little faith. I want to use surprise devil. Actually, the devil is stupid. The devil already know God wins, but still want to go against God, don't know for what. So the devil always thought he won for a short while, but God is always able to turn the table. So his power and His victory is never absent. God is always with us, even when we are weak. You know, so when I ask you to confirm God is present with us, you know, a lot of people tend to go in what direction? Last time when I was a Christian, when I hear pastor telling me, you must confirm that God is with you, and I will start to look for evidence. So I will start to look for evidence. Oh, today did God give me wisdom to follow my homework on time? So if I don't follow my homework on time, then I don't know where God is. When we are asked to confirm God's presence, people tend to look for positive evidence. But today, I want to challenge all of us to even confirm that God is with us, even when situations are not rosy. Because of the example I quoted to you just now, in fact, a lot of times, God's power is all the more, but it's less obvious when things doesn't look good. So this is something that is counterintuitive. And that's why we always fall into Satan's trap. When things are not good, we tend to feel that God has departed from us, God is not listening to our prayers, God is not working. But when we are aware of the devil's cunning ways, we will not fall into counterintuitive traps so easily. And even in a situation that is not ideal, we will have the heart to seek out God's grace all the more. So today, through the message, we pray that God give us this heart to seek out His strength, seek out His word all the time, so that we are always strengthened to speak to ourselves and to confirm in our hearts that it is worth it to follow Him, even when things doesn't seem good and smooth. And so the whole point, anyway, this is just introduction. Okay, no. So the third point is the theme for today's message. So the point here is, we are not supposed to do any great things or for the church or for God, because God doesn't need so-called our great things. All we need to do is to follow Jesus. So this should be the anchor point. So today, I hope all of you return with this prayer topic in your heart. This should be the anchor point for you in your campus living. You know, a lot of people come here, they want to get good grades. There's nothing wrong about that, by the way. They want to achieve something, and they want to take that home from this 3 or 4 years of studies. But despite that, that is still secondary. The anchor point for the campus life is to follow Jesus through your encounters in this study. So I'm not saying that, you know, never mind, don't need to study, don't need to do your homework seriously. But, you know, if you study in Jesus, you will learn beyond the textbooks. You will learn how to rely on God to gain understanding. And then when you rely and trust God in your studies, you will see His real work in you. And that will become your testimony throughout these 3 years. So you go home not just with a degree, but you will go home with, you will graduate with a whole load of testimonies that you can share with people. How God deal with, how God helped me when I'm stressed out. How God helped me when I'm stuck. How God helped me when nobody can help me. You know, last time, when I was a university student, it was too expensive to recruit tuition teacher, right? I think nobody find tuition teacher at the university level. But then I was too shy to keep bothering because half the thing I don't understand what the teacher is talking about. I mean, not for psychology, but for statistics. So I feel very shy to ask the teacher every time. Later the teacher think I'm idiot or something. So I was also very shy to keep asking my friend. So because later my friend don't want to be my friend because this person very troublesome. So I pray to God. I say, God, maybe, can you just be my tuition teacher? Because I have no other tuition teacher. Nobody I can turn to. I have no money to recruit a tuition teacher at the university level. I need to find a master student. So cannot be what? So God, you just be my tutor. Because you are the source of wisdom anyway, right? Sometimes I laugh at myself when I pray this prayer because I was thinking, how can God be my tuition teacher? I mean, practically, lah. I mean, but you know, the amazing thing is when I study in Jesus, and at that point in time, I really think about all the practical options I have. God is the best tutor, what? Right? Free of charge and anytime available. So I pray and I look at my book again. Then surprisingly, God sometimes opened my mind. You know, things I don't understand during the lecture, suddenly, oh, eureka moment, is it they call it. And suddenly, oh, so this is how the statistics formula will work. And because psychology, I think, is common sense. But statistics, I find, wow, so cheap. This, how to apply the formula, this is harder. So God helps us practically when we rely on Him in our studies. So God is a real God. And even if we fail, you know, sometimes I say, God, when He lead us, not just good things, sometimes even in unfavorable situations. So even when we fail, in that failure, we can meet God. We can be humbled and we can be drawn closer to God. And that's how many a times God shaped me. Because otherwise, you know, I'll be so proud. Oh, you know, I'm an undergrad, you know, I know a lot of things. But actually, sometimes when we go through certain failures, that's when we encounter God also. So a lot of people, a lot of students, they are very concerned about successes and very scared of failure in the campus. But God just wants us to follow Him. And so what is following Jesus all about? We read from 2 verses. This is our passage for today. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 22. And Matthew chapter 28, 16 to 20. Okay. So this one, once you've open your Bibles, we can go through the verses together. Okay, Matthew chapter 4. So while walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw 2 brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So God is giving them a higher meaning to life. You are just concerned about your very livelihood, you know, it's your tiring life, about money and about food on the table, and you are laboring hard for this, but I give you a higher purpose. And immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw 2 other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he caught them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. So, the key thing about following Jesus is this word. We will share a bit more later. Left or abandoned. Okay, then the next verse, Matthew chapter 28. This is a very popular verse, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." So it's the same thing as fishers of men, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. So Jesus, he's looking for true disciples. So Jesus are not just looking for some people who are looking for miracles. So, but what are true disciples? True disciples are those with a directional shift in their life. So just now, you know, when we read the verses, Matthew chapter 4, you know, the disciples left whatever they have to follow God. So it's like an entire change of direction. It's a life commitment. And so, now you see, so now you read these disciples, whatever the disciples have done. Let me do a survey. How many of you can think that you can be like the disciple? Leave everything you have and follow Jesus. When we first read about this, right, we tend to find that they are very noble, right? You know, when we first read, wow, this disciple, wow, they are so spiritual. They are so noble. But let me ask you, are they really noble? How many of you think they are super noble to leave everything behind to follow Jesus? Oh, none of you think it's noble. Wow, so you can easily do that. So, but if I put it another way, do you think it's noble to move from a rural slum to live in a palace? If I ask you to leave your rural house, everything in the rural house, the kettle, the pots, and then live in the palace, is it very noble? If I ask you to throw away the rubbish in your hand, and then to take a diamond, is it very noble? It is not that noble. It's just being wise, right? It's just being wise. I throw away the rubbish, like Paul says that everything else is rubbish, except for the treasure, who is Jesus Christ. So, those who think that it's so difficult to leave everything behind, is because what? If you find it difficult, it's because you do not see. But if you find it easy, it's because you see the glory. Okay, what is this? You see the glory and you see the value of Jesus Christ. When you see how valuable, how much Jesus loves us, how much Jesus can satisfy us. Actually, you think about it, it's just being wise. It's just being very natural. It's just being very automatic that I chose Jesus, I leave everything else. Why do I stay in my struggles? Why do I stay in my sorrows? Why do I stay in the bondage of the devil? Leave everything behind and follow him. It is such an obvious choice. But that's why following and seeing must come together. When we cannot see the value, we will think it's so hard. Why is Jesus so mean? Why he comes to us and make us want to sacrifice everything? But actually, God is telling us there's no better person, there's no better love, there's no better satisfaction, there's no better joy than me. And so, for those of us who are already believers, you will see that, you know, not just a one-time directional shift. I think all of us here, we have made that one-time directional shift. That's why all of you think that we are like the disciples, right? They are not especially noble. We are also very noble. We left God. We left everything and we follow God. So we have that one-time directional shift in our born again. But for those of us who know Jesus, we also know that if we are true disciples, if we follow Jesus, we do not just have a one-off directional shift. We need to have this change of heart every day. The key word is every day. You know, the more we follow God, the more we hear His word, you realize that you find that there's more things that we realize we have to abandon. You know, abandon our own ideals, abandon our own plans, abandon some motives in our heart that's not aligned with the kingdom of God, abandon idols in our life. So, you know, we find that with more understanding of God's word, God is asking us to let go of certain, for example, perspective that's not healthy to the Christian living, that's not doing us good, or throwing away certain lies that Satan has planted in our minds before we are Christians. So we see that real Christian, when we are following Jesus, we need to pray for this change of heart every day. And it is this change of heart every day that gives you the power to overcome the world. So just now I mentioned, you know, if you don't have the power to overcome the world, we will either become obsolete or compromising. But say for example, this morning when you wake up, you have this change of heart. I mentioned it's every day, right? So it's like, God, I don't want to go to school. I think of the face of the teacher. I look at my textbook. I imagine the load of things I have to complete today. I don't feel like waking up, or I don't feel like going to school. But this change of heart from being grumpy to thankful can give you the power for the rest of the day. You know, so this change of heart is critical to overcome the devil's trap. And so this is where we need to help. We need God's help every day that He can lead us into this change of heart so that our heart will not be easily consumed and devoured by the world so easily. And so, this is something, just now I mentioned, we need to confirm if God is present all the time. Second prayer, we also need to ask God to change our heart. Even sometimes when we come for this weekly fellowship, we also need to pray for change of heart. God, you know, I don't come here to get knowledge. I don't come here because I want to give this pastor or this preacher face, or I want to give Wei Xiang face. Later Wei Xiang go and cry if nobody reply. So it's not because, but I don't come here because of whatever reason, but I want to come here to encounter you. Even though some of the things that the speaker is saying, I may already have heard in the course of my Christian living. But this change of heart, God, this is the word you have for me today. This is the reminder you want me to pray over today. This is what I need today. So when you change your heart, you find that nothing is wasted. Okay, and then when you have the change of heart, this is the final point. You realize then when you put following Jesus as the anchor point in your campus living, and as you have this directional shift once and for all and every day, then you will be able to see you will see God's calling on you being fulfilled. So this is where, you know, you follow, you pray through. This change of heart is a struggle. You pray through, you struggle through, because every moment there will be hindrances. And then with all this, once you get the right heart, you realize God's calling on you will be fulfilled. You know, God doesn't call us to be scholars, although it's a bonus if you happen to be scholars. God doesn't call us to be a mother to three children or whatever, although it is God's blessing if we can be. But God calls us to be a blessing to make people believers and disciples of Christ. And so you realize when your heart is correct, no matter how ordinary you are, just now we confirmed already, right? Who can be used greatly by God? Is it when you lay hand on people's headache go away? Sometimes I'm very scared, you know, when I lay hand on people, what if their headache didn't go away? But, you know, sometimes when, it's not about that. It's not about whether we lay hand on people and, you know, miracle happen. But when we trust God, when we have the right faith, right heart, and we base on His word, based on His mission, we live our life, God will use us greatly. And so, it's not about doing first, but it's about believing first. Because anything that is not done by faith, it's not going to be effective. You know, it's not about I chiong to study, I chiong to evangelize and grab everyone to listen to the gospel. We need to believe first that God is in me in this study, so I can make it. We need to believe first that God also loves the people I'm evangelizing to, so God will work in their hearts. So when you know, you see a lot of Christians, when they rush into doing without first getting their hearts right and restoring their faith, you realize they get very tired, they get burnt out, and they may not see results. But when we believe His promise first, His promise is, if you want to live for my mission, to make people disciples of Christ, I will be with you to the ends of the earth. So when we believe, that's what God will do. When I am willing to make disciples for Christ, God will be with me. God will use me. God will use you. When we believe and then we proceed to plan our time, we proceed to connect with people to share the gospel with them, then we will see how God actualizes His promise in our life. And so, with this, we pray that, you know, even though there are forces of darkness, as a summary, there are forces of darkness in this campus. And the forces of darkness seek to make us lose what? Lose faith, lose focus. 2F. But regardless of what the evil one is doing, God is still with us. So what we need to do is, we just need to follow Him. But you need to see that He is with you, be convinced that He is really there, then you will consult Him, you will pray. So God really wants us to confirm His presence in good and bad situations. And remember, even in worse situations, God's presence is all the more obvious. And then, also, when we follow God, it means what? When we say follow God, it means we really need to have entire shift in our whole life. This directional shift is not just about born again. It's about, what am I living for? Am I living to become a graduate, to earn big money, to have a family, to have children like everyone else in the world? Or I'm living really to fulfill God's mission and live as a child of God? And that is usually one of or a few major points in your life. But we also need a change of heart every day in order to sustain our following of Christ. Because if we don't change our heart, you realize our heart will grow cold. Our heart will be consumed by the devil and the worldly culture. And then finally, when our heart is correct and changed every day, gradually and practically, you will see how God fulfills His calling in our life. So it's not about doing first. It's about believing first. You know, we always say that God can use you to evangelize to the world. If you don't believe this, you won't do it one. Even if you do it without conviction, without confidence. But first believe that I may not seem to have very grand testimony to showcase. I'm an ordinary student. But if I believe God can use me to evangelize, He can use it. He can use me. So believe and you will see evidence. So again, these two are together. So I pray in your campus living, God will give you the strength to follow Him and see Him. And then see, you follow some more. So it's a blessed cycle. And so this is all I have to share today.